This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I've got Dan Rierkoff on the hotline right now.
Dan Rierkoff, you're not going to know the name unless you're from Pennsylvania. He's a retired mechanical engineer that Jake and I found. I'd shown this to Jake, and it just makes me laugh because I love weird projects. I love building stuff. And mostly, I just like to hang out with people who can build stuff, and I just hang out. But you learn as you go.
I love people who have the idea and then follow. Because how many times we have ideas 1,000 times a day, right, never follow through on it.
Right. And so he decides he's going to build, and I'll have to ask him why, a bumper car, other than it's just super cool. But I do love that era of pedal cars, of bumper cars, the shape of it. It all seems to come from that space age, 1950s. Everything was kind of looking a certain way. Fins, cars were cool. Bumper cars were super neat looking. Like, if I could have a bumper car in my living room right now, just to put it in
just
there.
Just on display, yeah.
Yeah, I would absolutely have one.
But if you could drive one down the road.
Oh, every day? First of all, I feel like it keeps people from tailgating. And he went in there, took the measurements, decided how to do it, and then actually managed to not just mock one up that you would sit in your yard or one that would move, a street legal one. And it's been a bit of a fight. We'll talk to him about it, but I love to see the good guys win, man. This crazy bastard.
Hailing from Pennsylvania, our next guest is a U.S. Navy veteran who studied mechanical engineering at Penn State and has been making headlines for his unusual project, having built a 13-foot-long, fully street-legal replica of a 1953 Lussie bumper car. Please welcome Dan Rierkoff.
Hey, Dan, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Hey, so just as we're going to the break here to talk to you, because I know about the bumper car, I know about the full-size pedal car, and then right. He hands me a picture of a yellow submarine. Did you build a submarine?
Yeah, I did. Well, that was the predecessor. That taught me a little bit of fiberglass work because there's two fiberglass fairings on it, and I had to make those.
And listen, because that's not easy. I've been down in a few submarines over the years. And
oh, really?
And I was lucky enough, I have a friend who lives in Curacao. And so, I mean, not super deep, but around 800 feet, 1,000 feet.
Well, that's pretty deep.
Yes.
That's deep. So this one went to 350. It was tested at 540.
So this, because that was my next question. Is this a submarine / boat that paddles around? Or it's a real submersible. You're saying you took it to 350 and it was tested to 5?
Yeah.
Wow. So you are a retired mechanical engineer, but you're doing these projects on your own? I assume you have some friends that stop by to help.
Somewhat. Sure. Well, that's the submarine I built while I was still working. The other two cars that I built were after I was retired.
You crazy bastard.
So the submarine, that was a fairly lengthy project because it was while I was working, and so it was spare time.
I mean, you're not talking about just making an airtight submersible, something that will take on some ballast and drop it and come up. You're talking about an air system, redundancy, electrical, everything. Like, that's a whole nother, like, I don't think people have any concept of what, you know, when I see that submarine, I'm like, Jesus Christ, it's not just putting a lid on a can. That's not a submarine.
Well, the submarine I had help with by in the way that I bought the set of plans for the submarine. That was That was a submarine that a man up in Mass or in Maine developed, and he used to build them. And so I bought the set of plans from him. It was a Kitteridge submarine, and built it. But then there were some personal modifications. But the pressure hull is all steel, and that was his design.
Yeah. And what did you end up doing with said submarine? Did you sell it, or did you still got it floating around
somewhere?
Yeah,
actually, I just recently sold it to university. University bought it up there on the Great Lakes.
Good. And so it's going to be a lake-going submarine.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. All right, so let's go to, because you just caught a lot of news and a lot of viral shares with the bumper car. We're going to get to that. But there's also a pedal car you did, and I love old pedal cars. But that's a full-size. How big was that pedal car that you built?
Well, it's a full-size car. It's twice, actually, that's 4.5 times larger than the little pedal car model that it was made from. But you have to remember, 4.5 times is cubic. So it's 4 times longer, 4.5 times higher, 4.5 times wider.
Yeah.
So it's the size of like a pickup truck.
Dude, I'm telling you, there's certain people you meet and you realize idle hands are the devil's workshop, right? Like, you got to have a project. It's best if you have
exactly.
a purpose. Yeah.
Exactly. A project, and a project that you could learn something new with, but yet you can handle.
Yeah. And you're 72 now.
Yeah, it's actually 73. Close 70. Enough.
So you're just hammering along. You just finished. So what we noticed, and this what's led us to this conversation, is you were just sitting around, as I imagine you do, Dan, and you're thinking, you see something, and you go, I think I want to try that now. You saw some bumper cars. You went down, and you started looking at bumper cars just a fun, like a amusement park?
No, I actually had that a little wrong. I don't sit around. I was finishing one project, and before I finished it, you got to have the next one lined up.
Right. So
the next one was, I think I want to build another car. It was COVID time, and I needed another long-term project, and the bumper car seemed like a likely candidate for a vehicle because, I mean, after all, it was built with the idea of a car. It was a car that a kid could drive before they were legal.
And we all have that fascination. And I do. I love the sure. the nostalgic feel of a bumper car. Of course, it's you know, there was a golden era for me of automotives that were, we started to combine our aesthetic with the space program. So it was big mm-hmm. fins and special, and everything looked like a rocket, and everything touched on the space and sci-fi. And it was just a great time of design. And mm-hmm. bumper cars to me very much mimic that.
Well, this bumper car, this is a 1953 Lusty is what I decided to copy.
Okay.
And a 53 already, they weren't quite into that futuristic design. They still mimicked, they mimicked the cars of that year.
Right.
Or around those years. And they were still the rounded out. Pre-war cars weren't too much different from post-war cars immediately. And then it took them a while to get into the rocket design. That was kind of more in like the '60s, the early '60s started.
And so
57 Chevy had fins.
Right. So you decide you're going to build this, only you decided it's not just going to be for fun, not for a show, not just to take somewhere. You want it to be initially, you go, I'm going to make it street legal.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the fun of it. Just pushing the envelope just a little bit. You got to kind of play on the edge.
And anybody else, by the way, because the way the skirt fits on a bumper car would have gone four wheels. Because that's the easy way to go.
Well, yeah, but the shape of the bumper car, kind of a real bumper car is a three-wheel vehicle.
That's right. Yes. Oh, no, I'm aware.
I take that back. It has four, but the two in the front are really side-by-side. It works like a tricycle.
So you decide, because no one would have known, but you would have known. And so you wanted it to be like, it's just like everything else. You're like, nah, it's got to be correct. So you go after this. So you're how many different car parts are you using?
Well, in the back of the car, there is a Chevy Aveo. I bought a Chevy Aveo, one that was in a wreck, but still, it ran to its own wreck, so it had good running gear. And I used the front end of the Chevy Aveo to power this. So I'm sitting on top of what would have been the windshield of the Chevy. I locked the wheels to go straight and put a motorcycle front end on it.
So good. And then you had to, you know, you had to hand form. That's a fiberglass body, right? Like that's how you.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was all made. You make a plug out of styrofoam, plaster, whatever will hold the shape. Then you make a mold off that. And then the finished part you make in the mold. And then I've thrown the molds away because I don't want to ever make another one.
But you have to be a sculptor to do this. I mean, these are each of these individual things you're talking about. Anybody listening, just so you guys know, like this is something somebody might do all of their life. Like that was their job. That was that's what they excelled in. But you're doing everybody's job on this.
Well, but you see, a sculptor probably made the original. And what I did, I took a lot of cardboard and made templates of different curves and pieces on the original, and then just multiplied it by two. That's a double size.
Mm-hmm.
And so really, it was more mechanical than it was actually being an artist. I am not an artist.
Listen, you've hit a place in your life where you truly get to be called eccentric in the best possible way.
Like, yeah, I suppose so.
But, I mean, what is it in life if you don't have something you're working on, something that's making you think, something to look forward to, something, a purpose, right?
Exactly.
What are you doing? This is not a dress rehearsal. This is it. This is all we get.
Well, that's it. Exactly. And, I mean, it's 73 years of gaining knowledge and looking over people's shoulders. I mean, how many more years do I have to play with it?
That's right. So let's get to this. This is a fun part. So he finishes this up. It's street legal because you clearly understand what you're up against. So you've already been thinking about this. Mm-hmm. You're like, hey, I want to register this. You walk into the DMV, Department of Motor Vehicles in Pennsylvania, and you meet the fun police. Like there's always somebody right out of the gate who's like, nope, sorry, can't be done. And you know, if you accept that, then that's what you get, right? But don't take no from someone who can't say yes.
Well, that's pretty much it. I found all the regulations for a motorcycle to get it legal in Pennsylvania. They're all available on the internet. I suppose every state is. And I decided I'm going to follow them. And, I mean, I knew some local people here who do, like, an enhanced inspection, and I went through, talked to them. I never did go down to the actual DMV, but because they're a couple hours away. And I just followed the regulations when I built it.
So what happens when you get there and they tell you, nope?
Well, here in Pennsylvania, you take it to, it's an R title inspection. And they go through it, and they, if it complies with everything, they fill out a whole bunch of forms and send them to Harrisburg. And I didn't hear anything from them for a little while, so I called, and they said, we're sending someone up to reinspect it. And they send someone up from Harrisburg. He drove his 2 hours up, 2 hours back, and he spent 2 hours going over it. And took about 200 photographs, went back to Harrisburg, and I didn't hear anything. And then I got a letter of refusal when I called again.
And so you don't let this go. By the way, at this point, this poor bastard that drove 2 hours there, took all the pictures, then drove back, then decided to be not cool about it. He had no idea. You would think he could read the room and see that you were one of those kind of guys like, listen, this isn't going to end here. We're going to keep moving and you're going to keep coming back, but we're going to work this out. So you just keep going after it and going after it, but you never let up on it.
Well, yeah, he should have read that room because our parting words were, you let me know what's wrong with it, what doesn't comply, and I'll change it and make it right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But apparently he didn't take that back.
You know what? Sometimes people just, and I don't know why it is this way, and I don't know if it was this guy's like this, but it feels like in life you'll see one person doing something great, something truly innovative and pretty joyful and fun, and for whatever reason, it triggers something in somebody else, and they're, I don't know, maybe they're unhappy with their own life, they see what they wish they were, and it pisses them off somehow, and they're just going to, they're like fun killers, and you just, sometimes people are this way.
Yeah, maybe, but I mean, everybody has a boss.
Right.
And
sure.
It could be that, you know, his boss, he was looking at it like he didn't want a distraction on the road, something to cause accidents. It may come back on him. Like, how did they register this thing? And, you know, whatever else. So, I mean, there is another side to it.
Well, but I'd say good and well.
I can somewhat understand it.
That's all good and well, Dan, but I don't believe that the law should be able to dictate what's a distraction and what's not a distraction. Like, if it's mechanically sound, like, that's not up to somebody else. That's subjective, right?
Well, I remember the first time I saw, I forgot what the name of it is. It's a motorcycle with the two wheels in the front.
Sure. Yeah,
and
yeah.
The
no,
one
I,
in the back.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. The Can-Am.
Spider?
Yeah, the Spider's the Can-Am. Yeah.
When I saw that going up the road, I was quite distracted.
Right.
The other day, I saw a Tesla, a square Tesla vehicle going down the road.
Truck.
And I thought that was distracted.
Right?
Yeah.
And hey, listen, I've seen some pretty girls and gotten pretty distracted.
Haven't we all?
Yes. So, by the way, if you're just doing a show, so Dan Rierkoff from Pennsylvania, you may have seen this, it's gone viral. He built a lot of stuff, but he built a street legal bumper car, and he's built submarines and full size pedal cars, like, you know, the size of an actual truck. And we were just meeting for the first time this morning, but so you had somebody, Jake was sharing with me that somebody kind of whispered in your ear, don't give up, they will give in.
That's right, yeah, that they really didn't have a legal avenue or a legal leg to stand on, I guess you could say. And so a young lady said, you just keep calling and we'll see what we can do. And they really didn't have any grounds to turn it down. And so persistence pays off.
Seriously, without a doubt.
And you know what the kicker to this whole story would be? The submarine that I built, it took me 18 years to convince my wife that I needed a submarine. And when I built it, I named that submarine Persistence.
Yes, that's exactly right. Dude, at this point, she's just got to just shake her head and look at you and be like, okay,
Oh, yeah. She lets me go.
That's it. So now, what's next? What are you going to do with this? You're going to sell it? You're going to drive it around? You're going to give it to somebody?
No. I don't plan on selling these. The only reason why I sold the submarine is because I needed space to put the cars. I mean, no, I don't plan on selling it. I mean, if I needed the money, I suppose someday, or if I lose interest in it. But I have fun. I enjoy letting people in it for pictures at car shows.
That's right.
I'll sometimes give kids a ride just a little bit, but for the most part, I take it to a car show, and there's been thousands of people in and out of the pedal car, and I suppose eventually there will be thousands in and out of the bumper car.
You are.
And it makes me feel good. I enjoy talking to people.
I know. That's it, man. This is not a dress rehearsal. Do the weird stuff. Have fun. See what you can come up with. Not everything has to be a profit center. Not everything has to be about, you know, what you can acquire. Some of it's just about seeing if you can do something and the joy of completing and doing something nobody else has ever done. I think there's a true happiness in creating.
Yeah, I find a lot of happiness in it. I find the biggest happiness is just seeing the smile on somebody else's face when they see something unique.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel good.
You take your girl out for date night in the bumper car?
Once in a while, yeah, we have, actually. we have.
I like to think about you two out in that full size. I mean, what is it, bumper to bumper? What is it, 13 feet?
The submarine was about 13. The bumper car. Yeah, it is. It's about 13 feet bumper to bumper.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what happens. They get wide. A bumper car is made to not tip over, of course.
Right.
So they're very wide for the length of it. So I was kind of limited on the size I could make it to be able to fit it in a trailer.
I just like to think about you guys putting your girl in there, nice summer day, summer evening, taking out for a drive, stopping by, having a little dinner, taking a stroll on the way home. I think it's fantastic. It's a wonderful idea.
Yeah, well, you can't sneak out in it.
Yeah.
I mean, there'll be cameras out the windows, the cars that will pass you by. Sometimes I have found cars pulled over up ahead, and the guy's standing out with a cell phone taking a picture as they go by.
It's awesome.
But it makes you feel good.
What's the next thing? What's the next? You got to be thinking, like we talked about, you're never sitting.
Yeah, actually, I do have a project on the floor. I've started building a reproduction engine of a railroad engine. A reproduction, a half size of the engine that came from the West when they drove the Golden Spike. And this is a little twist. This isn't going to be roadworthy, but it'll be trailerable. But it'll be a half-size reproduction.
Steam engine?
This will be battery-powered.
Oh, it'll be battery-powered. Okay.
Yeah, because it won't go fast. It's basically a golf cart drive, but it'll be a walking speed, parade speed.
This is going to be fantastic. All right, listen, I can't wait to see what you come up next with, Dan. Hey, and I appreciate you taking time for us this morning, man. I hope you have a great weekend.
Okay, and you also, you have the good rest of your day, and I enjoy your interest.
Thank you, sir. Hey, listen, we're going to get your email, and I'm going to send you an audio copy of this entire show, and you'll have it in moments, okay?
Okay, great. Thank you.
Take care, Dan. Stay right there. What a good cat, man. Hey, Jake, make sure you get it, Greg. Greg, if you will you package that up and make sure you fire it off?
Yes, sir.
All right. Yeah, man. I do not have the brains of that man, being a retired engineer. But I hope I'm that interested in life.
Yeah.
At 73, you know what I mean? You go, I sure do hope I'm still curious and I have things to do.
And like, to back it with the skills that you're like, I know I can do this. I kind of want to see how this plays out.
Yeah. And what happens if you can't? So what if you can't? You most likely can. Mm-hmm. But let's go worst case scenario. And you weren't able to do it. Okay. Well, let's go do something else. Failure is just part of the world. That's part of everything. What stops us always, and I'm not going to get super deep, what stops us from so many things is fear of failure. Once you lose that, you're not worried about it. Dude, you'll be amazed at how you can do things.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.